Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Falcons win against those stinking Cowboys. Man, Mike, they scampered out of the stadium like the lights came on and the roaches were out. I mean, they were falling out of there once they realized that game was over. And then, of course, you know, as we do, where y'all going?
Right.
Why are y'all leaving so early? I don't understand. The game's not over yet.
We had a thing going at 3:42. Anytime they started to get the defense chant going, we would go, Cowgirls! And that was kind of fun and snapped. It was funny. I read it real quick. I want to give a shout-out to a guy named Jermaine.
Yeah.
Who grew up in Birmingham, lives here now. He's big Dukes and Billis, loves Andy Randy, loves every show on the station. He's like, I like Steakhouse, too. Anyway, he goes to me and goes, Mike, you understand, I was in Birmingham. We didn't have an NFL team. I go, you could have been a Falcon fan. They were the closest. No, man. My dad will go to Memphis and watch Reggie White and the Showboats, USFL.
Wow.
And they had the Birmingham, Stallions. In the USFL. But anyway, yeah. He was like, it was so funny to try to validate why he was a Cowboy
fan. He just wanted to fill you in.
Because we were getting shots at the bar right there at 3:42. And like, it's okay, man. If you grow up in neutral territory, you can do forever your root for.
Yeah, and there were a lot there. You came into the stadium, you saw them all over the place. The fact of the matter is that's a team that's not going anywhere. Our team is going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about it. Because with this win yesterday, first of all, Kirk Cousins. Efficient. 19 to 24. Guys, he didn't have to throw it 50 times. We've been saying this. Different ways to win. He's been so damn good over these last few weeks, Mike. I think four of the last 5 weeks, Kirk Cousins has been really good. 222 yards, 3 touchdowns. Clean. You had touchdowns by Mooney, Drake, and Ray Ray. Now, did the Drake injury, we now know it's, again, it seems like he's going to be okay. But this hip pointer thing, Mike, when he went out of the game, everybody was kind of like, what's going on? And I was there. Big shout out to all the folks I ran into yesterday. We were actually up in the Harris suite area calling the game for B103. And a bunch of, you know, entertainer stars were stopping by. But there were people in that area that are also big fans of the radio station and shows. So thank you guys, man, for just stopping me and saying you appreciate what we do. But the bottom line is that the injury there happened early. And I didn't know when it happened. Like, I was like, did it happen on the touchdown? When did it exactly happen?
Yeah, I mean, did it happen in that drive? And because, you know, you score a touchdown. He did it was, by the way, what he did with that celebration, it was, you may have seen it on a college football final. It was a receiver for, I think, Immaculate, whatever the school is, Incarnate Word, small school. And he did, like, the headstand, you know, and rollover touchdown celebration. So, I'm not like he hurt his hip doing that. But maybe the adrenaline from the touchdown, you know, wears off when he's on the sideline. And perhaps in that drive, he did something to his hip.
Either way, wide receivers were good. Defense was even better. Caden Ellis, best game of the year for him. 13 tackles, guys, 8 solos, 2 tackles for loss, a sack. We ended up with 3 sacks yesterday. And all of the things that we've been talking about, again, it's not going to come together all at once. But they were better yesterday. And I said, if this is a team you can't get a sack against, coming into this game, Mike, Dak Prescott had been sacked in every game this season at least once. And so you figured we could try at least to get to him, and we did more than one time. But what impressed you about yesterday? Was it Bijan?
I thought, you know, just Zach Robinson pivoting when Drake goes out. The fact that everybody else gets involved. I mean, Darnell Mooney, they come in. And by the way, when your opponent is confused, take advantage of it. If you didn't see the game, guys, I noticed Trayvon Diggs, they had a timeout. There's a confusion on the sideline, and they got this bunch formation. The DBs don't know where to go. And then Mooney can just slip right around, gets one of the easiest touchdowns he's ever going to get. And Kirk Cousins saw it, diagnosed it. That's what a veteran quarterback sees it, executes it. So I just love that. We already talked about Caden Ellis, a guy that had 7 sacks when we signed him, Carl, a few years ago from New Orleans. Love to see him get more involved in this defense. He had a big stop on Dak. Dak was going to get his. We knew that. But I thought the defense was solid. But the thing that struck me the most is how your offensive coordinator loses a piece and is still able to get the ball down the field.
Well, it's the growth, right, of Dak of Zach Robinson. I think that's what you're talking about, Mike. I agree with you. I mean, everybody else picked up the pieces when Drake went down, and you really didn't see any fall off. Now, did we finish the game the way we wanted to? No. We probably should have went down and scored another time, Mike, between, you know, the fourth quarter. I think those last 8 minutes or 10 minutes of the game. That did not happen. We gave them a couple of different chances to do something with it. And once Dak left, Cooper Rush comes in. He had one decent drive where he drives him down the field. But at the end of the day, that would be the only thing that I would say I wish we would have done a better job of.
Right. After our final touchdown, we had 2-3 and outs, and that's what we're talking about. I think there were some similarities in how our fourth quarter and how the third into the fourth quarter for Georgia went, where Georgia could have put Florida away.
Yes.
But they couldn't execute that. And, yeah, we had, you know, there was a sack. Kirk coughed it up twice. One was lost. But that's, you know, that's the price of doing business when you can beat it with a drop back passer. And they still got some playmakers on that defense. But I just thought that, yeah, we just lost some oomph. This game could have been over. And I hate that it wasn't right before the half, but it was a score before the half, which felt like it kind of took some of the air out of the balloon.
404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. We want to know what you think about where our football team is right now. What's the ceiling? 404-726-0929. Is it an NFC championship? What's the floor? We know we're probably going to the playoffs. Is it a divisional round or beyond? Like, to me, that's where we're living right now. I'm not going to tell you we're the best team in the NFC. I think that right now goes to the Lions. We'll see if that continues to play out. But if you're not going to tell me again that we're not a top three team right now, I would disagree with you. And I would tell you, depending on where you're playing your opponent, whether it's going to be at home or on the road, that also is going to play a role as to how I feel about where we're going. 404-726-0929. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. And follow this radio station at 929 The Game. Chris, let's get a poll up on a big Falcon Monday after beating up the Cowboys, which felt really good yesterday. How do you feel about our team right now? 6-3. Did you think we'd be here? And also, what do you think the ceiling is? Because, Mike, there are people who are saying our odds have gone up over the last few weeks as a team that could get to the Super Bowl.
No, we got an offense that can go with anybody. We can match up with anybody with our offense. I mean, I wonder, do you want to maybe, if another wide receiver comes down the pike with a trade? I know we're not really focused on that. We think we got all the weapons right now. But, you know, remember, we did lose a wide receiver before the season began. Maybe a little more size, that's one thing. Pitts only had one reception yesterday, only one target. That was weird. I don't know if that was a byproduct of what Kirk saw, because I rewatched it today, and I didn't really think that it was like, you know, Kirk was, I should say that Pitts wasn't running good routes, but he did miss some chips, though, by the way. Missed some assignments.
Well, he got him sacked.
Yeah, got Kirk got nearly crushed. But getting back to your initial question, Lions passed the eye test, although they wobble at times. But their offense still, it looks smooth. Commanders, I mean, it's still a young quarterback. And I think everyone's kind of waiting for the floor to drop out on Jaden Daniels. Maybe it doesn't. Cardinals are 5-4. The Eagles have righted their ship. We're all in that second tier. I think the Lions are up here and everybody else is kind of fighting for the scraps at second place.
All right. With that said, and we're talking about our victory, we've got a lot to get to. You'll hear from Arnold Ebiketie, who picked up a sack. And it's funny now, if you listen to us every week up there at Flowery Branch, the last 3 weeks, coach has been saying, Arnold's doing great. He's rushing the passer. He's getting there. He's getting close. And then it happened yesterday with a big sack, and he had a really good game as well. 5 tackles, 3 solos, of course, with the big sack. You'll also hear from Coach coming up a little bit later on this hour. The other part of this story right now is, yes, we're playing well, but everybody in this division is a mess. And Tampa plays tonight. We hope the Chiefs win because, again, that helps us. Mm-hmm. But then we go to the Saints on Sunday. And today, if you're just joining us, the Saints have fired their head coach, Dennis Allen. This shouldn't be a surprise. They were in a spiral. He couldn't fix it. They've had a variety of injuries. You've got players and infighting going on, Mike. The Saints right now are a mess. Hi, Saints fans. So with that said, us heading on the road all of a sudden, Mike, I'm not telling you they're not going to show up, but this thing is – It's not as daunting as it was when we thought about the Saints in the first few weeks of the season.
Hey. I would temper that laugh. You know why?
Why?
It's a friggin' trap. It's a trap piece of the trap games. Because you got, you always go with the special teams coach because he knows everybody on the roster. And so it's, you had Darren Rizzi on your bingo card. Darren Rizzi is going to be the interim. But yeah, I mean, you, Derek Carr, you got everybody from Michael Thomas, his former wide receiver, taking shots at how bad he is at quarterback. But this is like a really bad trap game because everybody's going to expect us to go in there and just smoke these dudes. And this is one where maybe they rally. You know, all the stupid cliches will come out, Carl, after the coach gets got.
They have lost 7 in a row.
Yeah. After looking like they were going to set the record books on fire with this passing offense to start the season.
Now, the first game was just a two-point game. We only won 26-24. I don't care how we win. I always say that. But since we played them, this thing has literally spiraled out of control. The Bucs put 51 on them. The Broncos scored 33. The Broncos looked completely outclassed yesterday against the Ravens. You just talk about this.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's week-to-week thing, and I understand where you're going, but I'm not going to buy that because I think our football team is better than them. And if you're better, just like yesterday with the Cowboys and last week when I said that's a terrible team coming into town, these are the games you need to find a way to win. I'm not going to tell you it's not going to be tough. But this is why I think, Mike, if you're going to say, here's another team that might be in a little bit of disarray, that's the Cowboys right now. Not as talented as us. More importantly, the coaching is terrible. Mike, they had 9 penalties yesterday. That is an undisciplined football team. So are the Saints. And that was a bad loss yesterday. Now, we'll talk about it throughout the course of the week, but that is news coming out of New Orleans that we kind of look at and go, all right, you know what Ra's going to tell us on Wednesday? He's not worried about it. He's not going to focus on them. He's going to be worried about us. But I'm just telling you right now, this, I think, helps our situation heading into the
season. Yeah, I mean, look, one thing for certain, we've seen it happen with other players around the league. Cam Jordan has literally fallen off a table. Cam Jordan, who literally used to eat our lunch for the better part of a decade, not almost, 13, 14 years, his production is zero. You know how many sacks he has?
Oh.
Zero.
Oh,
zero. So that's a dude that, you know, we used to worry about down there on the road. So I'm getting the fair and balanced review of this potential matchup and where it might go. But you have seen where teams do get a little bit of a bounce when they move on or they don't. They are a bad football team. You are correct.
All right, coming up, headlines, guys. And we're going to hear more from our guys as the Cowboys come into town and lose. Bijan was great yesterday. Another day of 100-plus yards from scrimmage. This is kind of becoming who he is, and he touched it a lot yesterday. We'll get into that and much more coming up on a Falcon Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, the Cowboys bite the dust. Christopher says Dukes and Bell on our poll question. The ceiling is a Super Bowl appearance. He says what we need or the expectation is 12 wins and 2 playoff wins. Let's go. You know what? 12 wins is not out of the question. I mean, it's just
No. Look, I mean, you look at – look, we're not going to sit there and go, that's a win, that's a loss. But you still feel, wow, all of a sudden a game that we didn't know what it was going to be. Well, you know, maybe Jaden Daniels, they win four or five games up in D.C. All of a sudden that could be for, like, the number two seed in the NFC. You know, with the Commanders, that's a huge game with us. That's the Sunday after Christmas. That's a big one. The Giants don't seem scary. The Vikings is always – we asked Kirk about that. Kirk Cousins, that'll be an emotional return for Kirk Cousins to Minnesota. But yeah, the Broncos, also good defense. I'll get to that. They have a hard time being consistent offensively, but they got a strong defense, and that's on the road at Mile High.
I agree.
But I'm with you. I mean, I don't want to do Nostradamus. I'm starting to look ahead, but you see a lot of potential dubs, don't you?
You do. And you know, again, it's funny because the NFL is weird. Mike's not wrong about what he's saying in regards to the Saints. If you think they're just going to lay down, these guys are prideful. They're going to show up. But when you are not functioning at a high level, and you're playing teams that are, it's just hard to win. That's what you saw yesterday. Right. You saw that with the Cowboys. It's not like they weren't trying to do stuff. It's just not that good. And then they got desperate. Mike McCarthy, fake punt. What are you doing?
By the way, I mean, this is just where, we asked all our panelists from Dallas this week that came and joined the show, from Fish and Bobby Belt. It's like, why didn't Jerry's got more money than God, but he still can't just move on from a guy and eat a year's salary? I mean, just if you got a 4th-and-4, you're much better with Dak Prescott under center or in shotgun than have your punter, because you can grab the guy that's wide. There's no pass interference on that play.
No. Mike, it was just, again, I think another example of why he won't be there. I said after that play, I was like, he might not be on the plane. I mean, that is screaming, I'm desperate. We can't move the ball the way we want to. Mm-hmm. Our offense is very limited, and you saw that. But, yeah, we'll talk plenty more about the Saints. We're talking about the Cowboys and this win here on a Falcon Monday. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A couple of things we need to mention to you guys before we get into some headlines, and then we'll let you hear from Coach and Arnold Ebiketie from yesterday as well. The Braves continue to make moves. Now, we were all caught up this weekend with Georgia, Florida, and obviously the Cowboys coming into town. But not only did they acquire Griffin Canning over the weekend, but, you know, they signed Aaron Bummer and Ronaldo Lopez. And now, Mike, we find out that the Braves have declined the option for Travis d'Arnaud.
Yeah, and I get it. d'Arnaud is at this part of his career where he's not going to be, you know, playing the lion's share of the games. But I just, man, with Murph being so awful at the dish, I just thought you'd keep Travis d'Arnaud around. d'Arnaud's the one guy that seems to be consistently clutch. You know, and I'm a little surprised, unless there's going to be a pivot and they're going to try to upgrade the catcher position. But they've got a relatively sweetheart deal with Murph. Murph's just not producing.
No. So we'll see what the plan is, right? Because there's a plan. I mean, you don't make these moves and decline options and whatnot when you have a chance to pick a player up and say, hey, we want him to be here. Now, you could obviously offer less and he could return. But at the end of the day, Mike, I'm curious to see what this is going to look like. I'm still adamant about pitching over adding everyday guys, at least right now, because right. The core of your lineup is still set, considering everybody coming back and being healthy. But these are just the little tweaks and adjustments. If you're telling me we're going to go, I don't want to say go to war, but we're going to go a full season with Murphy as the number one guy, I don't buy that.
Well, I mean, again, unless the Braves' new hitting instructor literally is Charlie Lau. And, you know, Seitzer was pretty good, you know, a year ago. I'm not going to argue about the new hitting instructor. But, yeah, Murph can't hit, guys. I mean, we don't mess up many trades, but the Contreras trade was a fail by any metric. The guy's an all-star. I know he's not as defensively astute as Murphy, but, you know, at this day and age, even with a bigger bases, guys aren't stealing as many bases as we thought they were.
No doubt. All right, that's going on with the Braves. We're going to keep an eye out, guys. Lots of moves already for Alex Anthopoulos, to be quite honest with you. Just
financial flexibility. Now, we used to joke around about that. Wait till Truist Park. Wait till Cobb.
We paid those bills off, didn't we?
Yes, it was always the joke about financial flexibility. Well, now, in the press release, they specifically say financial flexibility with the moves of Ronaldo Lopez and Bummer.
All right, man. Happy Monday to everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. Big O's behind the glass. He is our engineer. Turtle is our executive producer. Let's hit some headlines. Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Let me hear Raheem Morris. We got three, count them, three sacks yesterday.
I think it's the mindset of the team, the growth mindset. I think we're going to try to do whatever we can to get after the passer. We're going to try to do whatever we can each week to get better, and that was a part of it this week, and it certainly paid off. Going out there getting three sacks today for the first time, I believe, for us for the season, that's something that we want to improve on and something we want to get better at.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to give us that side eye on Wednesday when we're up there. Like, I told y'all we were close.
Now, and if they don't take a holding penalty and accept it, Abakady would have two sacks. So they're on his way to six, which is what he had last year. So, like, we've been going round and round with Coach, and some guys say it sounds like semantics when him and Jimmy Lake try to talk about it, but they got after it, and hopefully they'll do the same thing against Derek Carr.
Yeah, and Caden Ellis, you've been beating the drum for him. He was great on Sunday, man. I mean, he played a full game. And so did, you know, Nate Landman. I mean, Hammer! He played a really good game. The linebackers were good yesterday. So that's good. Hopefully that's headed in the right direction. Meanwhile, let's hear from our quarterback, Kirk Cousins, talking about the run game and the pass game blending together.
I do. I thought our run game was really positive today. I think the challenge is any negative runs that kind of set us back. If we can avoid those negative runs and just kind of stay in positive gains, it would really help. But Dallas made us earn it. And you know, it was, like you said, workmanlike. That's kind of how it felt.
It did.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I would be fan is when I had a guy just say, hey, let's enjoy the moment. Mike, no, expectations have been raised. He's like, we had Ritter and Mac Hollins. No, I said, you stay back there. I've raised my expectations. The only thing I didn't like is just kick it out of the back of the end zone. We gave Dallas too much good field position on the kickoff. On the one, I think it was 37, I think one was 18 yards. They had a couple of nice returns on the kick. 28 yards on a kick return, punt returns too. They got a lot of yardage. That's one, just tighten it up.
Listen, I'm with you. Special teams, though, again, lived up to it with the fake punt. You got
sniffed
that.
Out their second.
That's right. You sniffed it out. Hey, man, let's hear from Kirby Smart. And we're going to dive into this. Dog fans, there is a standard for Georgia football right now that's not being lived up to. And it doesn't mean that you can take away from their record. They're 7-1. They're one of the best teams in the country. But I'm just telling you right now, this is not the standard. And for Georgia fans who have followed this team maybe all their lives, okay, you would say we're lucky to have won the way we did against Florida because it's always kind of been that way.
Right.
Dog fans who maybe over the last 7-8 years with Kirby Smart would tell you this is not how we finish games. This is not what we do. We should have beat the hell out of Florida, considering the circumstances and the quarterback play. Here's Kirby talking about how tough that game was.
That was a tough one, guys. We didn't play our best game. I thought maybe the difference in the game, obviously, was the second half. The difference in the game was our fans gave us some momentum, gave us some energy there, had some big defensive stops. Obviously, you cannot turn the ball over and beat good teams. And make no mistake about it, Florida's a much improved team.
They are. And by the way, they had their own slew of injuries outside of Lagway, who left the game. And that was, you know, you hate to see any young man carted off the field. But, Mike, they were dealing with their own stuff. And this became a game, and you're going, this shouldn't be a game.
Yeah, and one thing we didn't really focus on much last week, we just thought, look, they're going to be physical. Lagway, you're going to throw some looks at him that maybe he struggles with. But Lagway, how beautiful was that? I mean, the big ball, the explosive play that you talked about all last week. I thought that, you know, you did miss your defensive backs that got nailed for the targeting with those stupid SEC targeting calls. But you thought, okay, they're going to get it together. Yeah, they got Aguero and Jackson back in the second half. I just thought that, look, if Carson Beck continues to do this, guys, you're not winning the national championship. I mean, this isn't like, you know, some big, you know, wow, profound statement. It just is what it is. He is a roadblock to your national championship. And if Bobo can turn that into a speed bump, Carl, to a national championship, he's got to make better decisions. Did you notice how conservative they got with the short looks? And just everything sort of became an extension of the run game after those interceptions.
Yeah, and, you know, look, there have been times this season where he's looked timid. And when I say that, I'm not saying scared. There's a difference. He knows he has to throw the football. But I'm a little bit timid and, okay, I'm not going to throw it down there. I'm going to throw it right here. And you can't be that way, Mike. You just can't if you're going to have the kind of success that they need him to have. Nevertheless, they win. It is a big one. And it doesn't get any easier for the Dogs, Mike, because now you look at this schedule and you say, okay, how are you going to finish? Are they going to be in the playoffs? Yes, they are. Where are they going to be ranked? We don't know. The College Football Playoff Committee will put the first polls out tomorrow. But the fact of the matter is they have a path to the SEC championship game. But this is all going to depend on if they can handle Tennessee.
Yeah, man. Ole Miss comes up next on the road in Oxford, then Tennessee. But Ole Miss, look, if he throws 3 interceptions in Oxford, they're done. Because that's a high-powered – you know what that offense is capable of with Jackson Dart and Lane Kiffin there, and they'll score some points against it. I think that, you know, we certainly felt buoyed about the defensive line and the work the linebackers did in the Texas game. I thought they were certainly solid. Like, the fault lies with the offense. You knew they were going to score some points. Gators were going to score some points. Carson Beck has got to be better. Bobo has got to figure this out. And Georgia fans on social media are saying, hey, man, maybe it's time to get Gunnar Stockton warmed up in the bullpen.
Well, here's what to your point about
which they'll never do, by the way.
Well, to your point about Ole Miss, though, they throttled Arkansas, and that was Jackson Dart, 500 yards of offense. He was incredible this last weekend. I'm not telling he's going to do that against the Dogs, but Mike's point is they have the capability to do it.
And Orange has mentioned in my ear that they lead the league college football in sacks. How many? 41? So, again, a quarterback who seems to with pressure, that one where he threw into double coverage.
Terrible. He's
been around big-time college football long enough to know you cannot make that throw.
Yeah. It's something that's got to get better if the Dogs are going to ultimately get to where they need to be. And that is the expectation, and that is the standard. It's Dukes and Bell. This hour, of course, is brought to you by our friends at Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com for all of your Man Cave needs. Hey, Hawks win last night. So what a weekend, right? Atlanta United wins. Mm. Falcons win. Hawks win on the road last night against the Pelicans. And Big O, let me hear the final call, because this, I think, was somewhat unexpected with all the injuries the Hawks have been dealing with.
So, final score from New Orleans. The Hawks 126, Pelicans 111.
Re-sha-she.
Great to see. But this goes back to, like, when you and I were joking around about how can you lose the way they were losing to the Wizards. This shows you they can, even with a manpower issue, step up and get it done.
Yeah. Back in action tonight, as a matter of fact, against Boston, as a matter of fact, here at home. So the Celtics are in town for those who are making their way down to State Farm. Of course, Tatum, the champs, as we currently are talking about the Celtics coming off the championship. But last night was a good win. We told you the Big Bear would be back. It is very cost-efficient to keep him, right, with the production. $16 million club option. We're talking about our Braves. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You will hear from Coach and Arnold Ebiketie here in just a sec. But the Braves pick up his option, and this makes total sense. He did a great job for you DHing. Fairly inexpensive when you start looking around the league at other DHs and the salaries that they're commanding. Well-liked. We know this in the clubhouse. I mean, it's just a good fit. And hopefully with everybody else healthy around him, Ozuna won't have to carry the team as he did for a majority of this season. The surprise for Mike and I is as they decide to pick up that option, they decline the option of Travis d'Arnaud, making him a free agent. And somebody just said, well, do they have a catcher in the farm system? Or do they have their eye on somebody that they're going to potentially go after? Well, obviously they do. You don't make this move. Again, this would be like if they didn't pick up the option on Ozuna, they would have a plan for DH, right? So they don't, and that's why they did it. Here, this is different, Mike, and so you're going to carry a couple catchers, guys. We know this. You're not going to go through 162 and not do that. But what does that look like now without d'Arnaud?
Yeah, I'm just curious. Are they going to go shopping? As one guy brought up, is there some hot prospect that they're going to bring up? We'll talk to maybe ask Grant about that at some point. But this is a little surprising because d'Arnaud has just been so clutch. And it's almost a guy that I'm happy to keep on ice and minimize his workload just so I've got him, you know, for the dog days of summer when you know he's going to produce. But, you know, in the case of Murph, you got to get this guy going. Or you got to just throw your hands up and say, you can't have him up there for all. So now Murph's going to be the guy for 145, 150 games?
No.
And
Mike, here's the other thing, too. d'Arnaud, I just think, first of all, he is really cheap to begin with. He only makes $8 million, guys. To say he would be back, but just not at his salary, which is fine, then what are we talking about? You're telling me he's going to take a $2 million pay decrease?
Right.
I don't know if that's something he wants to do at this point in his career. But that is still an option. So when we say it's completely over, it's not necessarily over. It just means he won't be back at that salary. But a lot of times these clauses are in place because it's cheaper to do that than it is to go back and renegotiate and try to sign him for another number when the numbers continue to go up every year, no matter what position we're talking about. So that's why it's interesting that d'Arnaud. But he won't be back for at least $8 million, which tells you the Braves are not willing to pay $8 million for him.
If I'm reading this correct, the next guy up would be Drake Baldwin at catcher. Again, I don't want to speak to something. He's apparently good pop with the bat. That would be the next, I guess, the highest ranked, unless there's somebody else lower level. Either way, you need some pop behind the dish. You got to address that. You talked about Ozuna. Remember, they already moved Soler out. That's how we got Canning here. You get all that money off, so that creates more flexibility. And you and I were debating. I was on a rant on Friday's show about go get Willy Adames. But, yeah, and the pecking order. I just think, Carl, they got to find some offensive pop, not to the level of Adames, because you said it's way too expensive. But they got to find, for me, an upgrade from Arcia at shortstop, too. I don't know where is that on the pecking order?
Maybe third.
Okay.
Maybe third. And the only reason I say that is because he's not expensive. It's not breaking the bank for you to have him on the team and for him to do what he did. So I don't think that is a necessary priority.
Right.
This catching thing, depending on how you look at it now, that's a priority. The pitching, priority. Like, that to me is where we've got to be thinking about. And then if you say, Mike, down the road, we've covered all that. Right. What does it look like and how do we improve at that position? Then we can go look at it.
It's just, to me, you know, for the 2021 season and for many, many years now, even they didn't, you know, when they didn't bring home the bacon, lose to the Phillies, the 7-8-9 has been one of this team's strengths. You know, Arcia batted 214. Sean Murphy batted 193. That's pathetic. You know, I mean, a complete, and here's the thing. Strikeouts, that's one thing. But he doesn't hit for contact. He doesn't give you anything. He was basically a zero in spikes down the stretch.
All right, more on the Braves coming up. And these moves, guys, will continue to happen. We'll keep you updated as news comes out. But they're making decisions about where they want to go. And, again, it does not mean that Darno won't be back. But he just won't be back at that number. And that tells me a lot about what they're thinking potentially. Either they're going younger, Mike, or cheaper. One or the other.
Right. And with Canning, by the way, and the Morton thing kind of dropped on us on Friday that Morton was entertaining the idea of coming back. So, yeah, you with Schwellenbach, and then, you know, that way Strider, you can kind of put Strider on whatever the timeline it works. You got five guys can eat some innings.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's hear from Coach Rob, because it is a Falcon Monday.
Yeah.
Falcons win against the Cowboys. We'll continue our conversation. Lots of great answers on the poll question about what's the ceiling for this football team. Guys, we're in this. Like, we told you in the summer we thought they'd be good. We didn't know how this was actually going to look. It may have taken a little bit more time than we thought. We're in this. And if we handle our business the rest of the way, we're going to be in a really good spot, not only to host a home playoff game, but, Mike, potentially make a deep run in the playoffs. Go to our poll question at Dukes and Bell 929. Here's what Coach Raw had to say yesterday with our buddy Dave Archer.
Raheem, a lot of conversation going in this game about Dallas being beat up and all this time. You guys had some injuries and stuff like that. This was a workmanlike opportunity to go out and just go take care of your own business.
It's always going to be like this time of season. Everybody's beat up. Everybody's going to go through some type of injuries. And you just got to find a way to go out there and deal, right? We all got to recover. We all got to go play. And that's why I was proud about our guys going out there doing today. They fought through a bunch of things. We had a bunch of guys go down. People step up. And all guys, all hands on deck.
Well, and that's where I wanted to take you. I mean, the efficiency on both sides of the ball. Guys coming in and out of the game. We saw a number of guys that maybe haven't gotten as many snaps. Joel Malone gets in, rushes the pass or something. But tell me about that and just the team, just a workmanlike effort.
I think it's the mindset of the team, the growth mindset. I think we're going to try to do whatever we can to get after the passer. We're going to try to do whatever we can each week to get better. And that was a part of it this week. And it certainly paid off. Going out there getting three sacks today for the first time, I believe, for us for the season. That's something that we want to improve on. That's something we want to get better at.
You could see it in the eyes of Grady when he went out for the coin toss. There was a little something different about 97. Now, he's always cranked up and ready to roll, but there might have been a little bit more under the hood today.
You know, when 97 comes out to play, particularly at home, because of the fans and what they do for him and what they mean to him and what he gives his community and what the community gives us back, that's always something that we love. That's always something for him that's great. And when he's here with his mom out there, with that whole crew over there, you got to love that for him.
It's a team concept, but you've got some guys that are rising up and making plays for you, a number of guys across the board. You had three different guys catch touchdown passes for you, and Bijan Robinson keeps toting that rock.
You know, Bijan is just outstanding, and he's exactly what we want him to be. He gets 100 yards from scrimmage every single week, whether it's rushing, whether it's passing. He goes out there, he plays the game, he's able to do whatever we can ask him to do, protect. It doesn't matter. Block, I don't care what it is. And he goes out there and performs, and that's just what we love him.
All right, what's the message now? You got a divisional game coming up, you got to go to New Orleans next week. What's that message? You get ready to go to work again.
You know, there's no difference in what we want to take the mentality to the South, right? There's no such thing as running too far, and we got to go out there and go get him.
Thanks, man.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Raheem Morris is talking about running the South. He's been preaching that, and we are currently running the South. Two division games left. Next week, it's the Saints. If you're just joining us, Dennis Allen fired as the Saints head coach. So they will have a different look, or at least at the top, with who's calling the shots. And then, you know, we'll see where this goes with Carolina. They got a win yesterday. They beat the Saints yesterday, by the way, that's why Dennis Allen got fired. But, Mike, I don't know what the Carolina Panthers look like. And at the end of the season, that game's not until, you know, the first week of January.
And there were stories as late as last week. They were shopping Bryce Young, perhaps, at the trade deadline. But because of, you know, injuries and the thumb issue with the red rifle, that they had to go with Bryce Young. Hey, man, this is still, again, one more game with those guys. You mentioned the Saints. We're going to win. I'm not going to do Nostradamus. We're in a great position, Carl, by any metric, to win the division.
Yes.
And that gets you in the playoffs.
Yes.
The question then becomes, can we be that two seed? You know, can we beat out, you know, Washington or whatever it's going to turn into be at Minnesota? Whoever's going to win that division. Detroit certainly looks like the number one dog. But can we be the number two seed in the NFC playoffs?
We could.
Yes, we can.
We could.
But we got to get an edge rusher because we cannot continue. Even though we do feel good about the three sacks yesterday, Carl, you cannot and we cannot continue to allow quarterbacks that much time back there. You just can't.
It's the trade deadline, by the way, is tomorrow, and we will see. By the time we get in here and, you know, by 4 o'clock, we're going to know what this is going to look like. Now, you could see a slew of potential deals done across the league, or you might not see any. And so we're kind of in a wait-and-see mode. I will tell you this, and I this comes from good sources, that the phones, they are working, man. They are trying to see what is available. Mike, it all comes down to cost, and it comes down to, are you willing to do this now? Because anytime you do this, right, you got to know that you're in it and you're mortgaging the future a little bit. Now, if you're giving up a fifth or a sixth round pick, not so much, Mike, but if you're giving up a second or third, you talk about this all the time, right, how those second and third guys, those are guys that should be coming into your team and playing a major role.
The problem is, I mean, the other way I look at it is we've had so many busts in the second round, I'm almost willing to give up a second rounder for a proven piece who's got a resume and you know what you're getting. Azeez Ojulari, you know, the Georgia Bulldog, now with the Giants, can we still pull that deal off? I mean, that would be a hell of a piece because he's a relatively young guy, too, and then, you know, you maybe get him to stick around if it works out contract-wise. By the way, our buddy Mark Ramondi from ESPN, and reporting about Grady Jarrett negative, as you mentioned, on that Achilles.
Yeah.
Because that was really scary about that injury. And with the hip pointer, is that what they're calling it, Drake London injury?
It is.
That's just going to be perhaps maybe he's not in the mix for this weekend with the Saints. But do you elevate someone? Do you have another wide receiver on the practice squad?
Yeah, and listen, I'm not going to tell you we don't need anybody. Like, we don't need Drake or Grady to play. Of course we do.
Casey Washington, Chris just said, is that guy.
And he'd be fine. I mean, we talked a lot about him at camp. It's been, you know, a few weeks since we've actually talked about him. But my point is this. You also have to manage the future now. And, Mike, I talked about this a little bit on this broadcast yesterday. We're in a different position than we've been in a long time. It's not all hands on deck. We need everybody to win every game because we're trying to make up three or four games. I got to think about the future. I need Drake at the end of the season healthy. If that means, unfortunately, he doesn't play Sunday or Grady doesn't play, that's what it is. Because that's more important to me to know that, Mike, we have a future down here, and what's this going to look like? I need my stars available. So I'm not telling you they're going to hold him out, but this is one of those rare situations where usually we're like, oh, we got to go win. We need to win because we're two games out. We're two games behind. We're not. We're in the driver's seat.
Yeah, we're in a good position, guys. And certainly you look around, and I just think there's like this, the Lions are everybody's choice. But, you know, you look at us and you say, are we better than the Vikings right now? I think we're kind of on the same plane, right? Although they're very aggressive defensively. They get after. We're going to see just how good, you know, Flores' defense is when we play them up there. But we're a team. The only thing missing for us is the home run hitter, edge rusher. And I think if we could get that in this mix, and maybe by bringing that guy in here, whoever that dude is that they earmark, Judon gets better. It helps Ellis. It helps Ebikadi. And that really, what we thought we were getting, let's call it what it is. Judon's a bust right now.
He hasn't done enough. And there were times in the game yesterday where he was in the game and they were passing obvious passing situations. And I'm like, okay, he's going to get off right here. Not so much. So he hasn't done enough, and that's kind of where I am with Judon. Let's hear from the guy that did get a sack yesterday, and that's Arnold Ebikadi with Dave Archer after the game.
Joined now by our John Foy, strong arm defensive player of the game, Arnold Ebikadi. AK, I know that you're tired of hearing about getting to the passer. Tell me about it.
Long time coming. It feels like that's something we had to get done. What is it, week 8? You know, we talked about it all week. It was imperative for the D-line to get home this week and affect the quarterback. I think we did a pretty good job at it.
No question about it. I thought you had him under duress most of the game. You guys got him on the ground 3 times. And back-to-back sacks by you and Grady. Tell me about that sequence. Big sequence down there tight.
Definitely is. You know, I said we talked about it, and Grady definitely one of our leaders, somebody that made a big emphasis on us, like just playing fast this week. And I think those 2 sacks back-to-back kind of gave the momentum to our team. And it was big for us moving forward.
How much do you guys talk about the combination of the back end? Because I know you guys got to have coverage to be able to get home sometimes. It's not like you just rush around. There's nobody blocking. You got to get home through the blocks. But the back end and the front end seem to work really well together.
Yeah, it's about working as a unit, you know, the front end and the back end. Whenever we work together, they helped us. They helped the quarterback hold the ball. And every time we're able to get home and when we're on the same page, good things happen.
Yeah, tell me about the rotation. You guys got a bunch of guys that are firebreathers.
robbery than trying to get home. But that last game got a little wind. Last series didn't got a little winded, didn't you?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, just being out there, especially when it comes down to those obvious passing down. You know, being out there, you're trying to play as fast as you can. I mean, obviously you get tired, but you just got to keep pushing.
All right, bud. What's got to be the mindset now? You got New Orleans, a team that's in your division, coming up next.
Same thing. I think whenever we can affect the quarterback the way we did today, good things happen. So the mindset is just to not let down, just get back to work and try to affect the quarterback next week.
There he is, the strong arm. That's Arnold Ebiketie, but the strong arm is John Foy, and he's our defensive player of the game.
Very cool. A guy that we have high hopes for and kind of expected after last year's six sacks, you know, because that's a guy you like from the draft coming out, that he was going to be that guy.
Well, Penn State, and it's ironic, Mike, because, you know, they lose to Ohio State this weekend, a game they probably should have won, and they have two really good edge rushers as well this year that are probably going to go high in the draft. And Ebiketie, it's taken a little bit more time than we thought, but he's coming into his own, and that's good for us. Hey, we got more to get to. NFL Blitz is on the way. We'll hand out some game balls and no balls as we continue to talk about the Falcons handing the Cowboys another L. And the latest update on Dak Prescott after he left the game, next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.